I'm very happy now to welcome to the program James Lacine. He is an author, actor, and activist. He is co-editor of the book, The Letter Q, Queer Writers' Notes to Their Younger Selves. He's co-founder of The Trevor Project, and his film, Trevor, screens tonight at 6:30. There's a screening and pizza and questions and answers and discussion at the Urban Adventure Training Center, sponsored by the Santa Fe Mountain Center. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
It's wonderful to have you. This is a wonderful book. I highly recommend it. But what is the Trevor Project? How'd that get started?
So way back in the 20th century, I actually became aware of the suicide rates among LGBT young people.
Now, that's an acronym for
lesbian
gay,
bisexual, and transgender young people. And the statistics haven't really changed in the past 20 years or so. Basically, LGBT teens are about 3 times more likely to attempt suicide than their heterosexual peers. And this just seemed so crazy to me that basically that young people were, first of all, committing suicide. Second of all, that they were really suffering over something that seemed unnecessary, that they didn't have the proper support. So I wrote a play, it was called Word of Mouth, and in that play was a piece that I did called Trevor, about a 13-year-old boy who realizes that he's gay, tries to commit suicide, and survives.
And he's so cute. It's set at about 1980, which is, I'm going to assume, when you were a teenager, maybe?
Yeah, well, thereabouts. And I also based it on interviews I did with people, you know, peers and kids younger than me. And I went around and I performed that piece. And then Peggy Reisky and Randy Stone, who were two filmmakers, they...
So you performed it as a one-man show,
monologue. I did. That Eve Ensler, who I know has been a guest on your show, she directed that show.
Right.
Anyway, so Peggy and Randy asked me if I would take that part of the show, the Trevor part, and make it into a screenplay, which we would make into a film, which we did. That film, it won the Academy Award, in addition to some other awards. And when we sold it to HBO to put on TV, they thought, maybe we should put a telephone number at the end of the film in case there are kids out there who can relate to the character of Trevor and, you know, they see themselves and they're suffering in that way. And there was no 24-hour suicide prevention helpline specifically for LGBT teens. So Peggy, Randy, and I, we started it.
So we put the number there, and did you get a gazillion calls? I mean, was it overwhelming?
Well, you know, the first night that it aired, we got over 1,500 calls.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, the film's only 16 minutes long,
right,
as you know, because you've seen it. And to me, it's always so fascinating that a story actually can go out into the world and really create this kind of change. It's amazing to me and kind of a miracle in my life, proof of how powerful story can be. And, you know, that night when we got that many calls, not only did it kind of alert us to the fact that there was this incredible need out there for a lifeline and a crisis intervention helpline, but also that a story could have that kind of an effect and could get a young person to actually pick up a phone and say, this is the way I feel. How can you help me? So that's how the Trevor Project got started. And I think over the past couple of years, it's become clear that there's a real upsurge in terms of communities trying to say, how can we stop the situation, right? How can we lessen the incidences of bullying in our community? How can we address this behavior? How can we show more support, not only for LGBT teens, but for any teen who's questioning their identity or their sexuality, which is just really about...
Which is everybody.
Which is everyone. We've all been through this period in our life.
I mean, it's bad enough for straight teens. I mean, it's not a happy period in a lot of people's lives, especially in the media culture, which is the United States right now.
Yeah. And it's, you know, it's a period of high risk taking. It's also very self-conscious, moody, you know, all those things, hormones.
Hormonal, yeah.
You know, we're dealing with all of those things. And the idea that we would ask any young person to go through this by themselves and be able to navigate those very deep shoals, you know, it just, to me, seems a crazy thing. And I think one of the things that I'm excited about being here in Santa Fe, is actually coming to see the work that the Mountain Center is doing. their anti-bullying program that they have, that they've instituted in a couple of schools here, that they're working hard to get into other schools, where they bring young people out into the wilderness and actually give them a nature experience.
Right.
And teach them skills like resiliency and self-esteem, things that really can only happen communicated life to life, person to person.
Right.
They're not skills that you can get on the internet. They're not skills you can pick up from watching TV. They're actually skills that you have to learn that are passed along from one generation to the next.
Now, what are some of the things that young people are saying when they call the helpline? Is it a lot about bullying? What kind of things are they living? Is it about church, parents?
You know, I can say this. You know, it's a confidential lifeline. So, you know, I don't know that I can...
You won't be telling us any names, but like what kinds of things?
No, I know. I'm just saying that it's, you know, what we do is we gather information from those calls. And I can tell you that most of the calls come from the South and the Midwest.
Really? The red states.
Yeah, places where young people don't have that many resources, where they're hearing from either their families or their communities that they are bad or that they're going to be, you know, cast out of their family or their community if they come out, right? So what we do at the Trevor Project is we actually encourage kids to be themselves, but also to be able to build up this support system around them so that they can make choices that are not made in a vacuum, that they have as much support around them as possible. And I think that the issues that young people call about really run the full gamut. We, of course, get, you know, rescue calls that we get every month.
What's a rescue call?
Well, that's where somebody calls up and says, I have a plan. I'm about to commit suicide. I don't want to. And then we have to engage them to the point where we can send a rescue, right? And
do you actually send out police or...
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and, you know, there are ways of dealing with that. All of the operators and counselors are incredibly well trained. We have three call centers, one in New York, one in LA, and one in San Francisco.
Wow.
And there are about maybe 200 counselors at this point, and they're all really amazing. They're the true, true heroes,
yeah.
What they're doing. The patience, their ability to listen, and also to be able to really tease out from these young people the solutions that they need in order to make the decisions in their life that they really need to make in order to be themselves, to take the next step to be themselves, whatever that turns out to be.
I mean, there is a bit of, I don't want to say what kills you makes you stronger, but there are, and I think you've written about this, the kind of oppositions and other people in this book, the letter Q, the kind of things you have to deal with as a young person when you are not well accepted, can form in that young person a kind of strength that they take into their entire adult life.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that I would have had the wherewithal to be able to start the Trevor Project if I had had the support around me. I mean, the fact that as I was growing up as a teenager, I didn't have that kind of support.
Yeah.
Right? So it allowed me to actually know what it's like to feel that lack. Right. And I was able to go into my adult life and say, like, really, nobody should have to go through their teenage years without having that a kind of support system. Right.
So let's say you've got a kid, a 14-year-old gay boy or girl calling from a place where they're a member of a church and a religion that forbids them to be gay, supposedly, and they're being bullied in school and they can't come out to their parents. What resources can you give them?
Well, you know, one of the things we started a couple of years ago at the Trevor Project, it's called Trevor Space. And, you know, as we know, more and more young people are spending more and more time online. So we've expanded our services to include not just the telephone, which I personally believe in, but I'm from the 20th century, right? I mean, that's my main frame of reference. I think that what the human voice can do is kind of amazing. I think it's something unique, how we can communicate. I mean, in radio, you must know this, that the human voice has the ability to do so much work.
Yeah.
And having a young person connect voice to voice is, of course, to me, like the greatest good that we can do, right?
That said, I bet you've got chat.
We do. And we also have Trevor Space. And Trevor Space, in answer to your question, what do we tell a young person who's living in a community? We've provided a community online where you can, a young person can become part of this secure online destination called Trevor Space. We started it about a year and a half ago. We have about 45,000 registered members.
Oh, my goodness.
And it's a peer-to-peer support group,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So young people can give each other advice. They can also say, what worked for me? Here's, maybe it'll work for you. That's one way.
Do you ever get any bullies in that space?
It's monitored. It's all these things are heavily monitored.
Yeah.
So that doesn't really happen. And there have been no instances of it. And we also have Trevor Chat, which we operate 3 days a week. And that's sort of what we call a warm line, where young people can go online.
Warm line.
Yeah. And they can ask questions and talk to a counselor. And we found that that's really very, very popular, because young people can be who they want to be. The gender is not so specific, right? If you're typing,
yeah,
you can be whatever gender you want to be and
right,
identify however you feel like you want to be identify. So there are ways that we offer. That's through Trevor. And then there are, we try to hook these young people up to local resources, mental health professionals who are in their area, or support systems.
How long have you been doing that whole set of things, starting with the hotline?
The Trevor Lifeline started in 1998 when the film first aired on
okay.
HBO. And we've been doing it almost, I guess that's almost 15 years.
So in the time that you've been doing it, a lot of those young people have grown up and become adults. Do you hear back from them? Do they become involved?
You know, one of the really great things that's happened, especially in the past like 4 or 5 years, is that, you know, I live in New York, and there's a whole group of young people. They're 20 to 30 year olds, and they're professionals. They're all, you know, lawyers, doctors, who have decided that they want to help this next generation. They want to reach back because they're just out of it, really, in some
right.
way, that they want to do something. And they want to become the link between, say, my generation and that high school generation, right? And they are amazing. Their commitment to the Trevor Project, because they were young people who used the Trevor Project, actually used the phones, got online, got the information, and that's what got them through. Or they didn't have it, but they knew about it and, you know, didn't use it.
We're talking to James Lacine about the Trevor Project. Now, the film, which is screening tonight at 6:30, is called Trevor. And I think the way we're talking about it, it may seem to our listeners who haven't seen it that it might be really heavy and dark. But it's actually a sweet and very light film in a lot of ways.
Well, you know, I always feel like story is the greatest way to be able to communicate a big issue. And, you know, fortunately, the film has a sense of humor. It's really funny. It's really touching. And it sort of does the heavy lifting that you want to do by touching you emotionally.
Right.
And it's only 16 minutes.
So yeah,
I
exactly.
Mean,
yeah, so
I always think that's a plus for a movie. Like, you know.
Well, and I mean, especially, and there's a cut of it on the DVD that can be used in educational settings that
yeah.
takes out just a very few, perhaps, of the more explicit, whatever, things. Have you found that teachers are using it? Is it being used in the classroom a lot?
You know, I think there was a period when it was used a lot. I think it is. It's a helpful tool. There's no doubt about it. But one of the things that happened is that because the story is set in 1980, it seems like from another world to young people, right? Because they live in a different universe. So one of the things I did was I wrote a short book called Trevor, in which I told the same story of Trevor, but I said it in the 21st century.
Uh-huh.
And instead of his devotion to Diana Ross, which is in that film, he's devoted to Lady Gaga. And
all right.
There's some more technology in it. And it's just, I think, probably a little more familiar to younger audiences now, the book, than the film would be. But the film is an amazing tool in terms of fundraising. And also, the story just keeps generating itself. It keeps generating, you know, more support. So, you know, whether people see it or not, it's still out in the world.
Right, right. Now, let's talk about bullying, because that's something that the Santa Fe Mountain Center is really concerned with interrupting and kind of helping young people to get past that. What does bullying, what are some of the forms that bullying looks like, especially against LGBT teens and young people in general?
Well, you know, I think one of the things that's changed, so many people say, oh, you know, bullying, it's always been around. It was around when I was a kid.
Yeah.
And it's true. It's something that I think young people, they pick up that behavior. It's a natural part of growing up. But I think what's different nowadays is that it's really 24/7. With the internet, you know, when I was a kid, I could go home at the end of the day, at the school day, and I'd go home and sort of retreat into my world, at least turn off that school bullying. I think nowadays it's much harder for kids because they have to put up with it online. And that goes on till 2, 3, 4 in the morning. It never stops.
Right.
So I think that that's a big difference in terms of being able to withstand it as a young person.
So how do you interrupt that? Say you're the young person. I mean, what kind of things are they writing on each other's Facebook? I would think, like, if I were a kid who was being bullied on Facebook, I would block the people who were bullying me.
Unless they were your friends, and they're the people that you see every day in school. Or, you know, if you block one person, you still get a thread from somebody else. It's like there is no firewall against that kind of behavior. What there is that there is something I think is incredible that's happening in this country, which is that there are communities all over this country that are standing up and saying, this is not going to stand in our community. We are not going to put up with this. We're going to find a way to be able to create dialogue between the people who are bullying and the people who are being bullied, and just bring it up to the level of conversation, which I don't think has happened, you know, for years and years and years.
If ever. I mean, it certainly didn't happen when I was a little kid.
No, and I think that one of the things that's come out of the tragedies that happened, you know, especially 2009, you know, which are not unusual. It was just somehow it became national news. I think one of the good things is that people realize that this is a serious issue that we really need to address somehow.
Remind people what you're talking about, 2009.
Well, in 2009, in September of 2009, there were 9 very highly publicized suicides, all related to bullying, right? And we all know that not all suicides are the result of bullying, and not all bullying results in suicide, right?
Right.
They're two separate issues, but with overlap. And I think what happened in that season of 2009 was that people realized the connection, right? They saw that there was some sort of connection between bullying and suicide. And the media really picked up on the bullying aspect of it. You know, we've been trying to get their attention for 15 years, 14 years. And, you know, suddenly it became an issue that they could hop on and really talk about because they could point to the bully. But what I always feel like is that bully is suffering just as much as the people who are being bullied, right?
Or slightly less.
We don't know. I mean, calling somebody a bully is as really as other-making as calling somebody a faggot, right? It's just you label somebody. You reduce somebody down to a word.
So tell us what the bully suffers. Like, what's their suffering like?
You know, I'm not really an expert on bullying, I have to say. What I know is what I see and what everybody else sees. I mean, I have access to a little bit more of it through the Trevor Project.
Yeah.
But the Trevor Project is really a suicide prevention and crisis intervention helpline.
We'll have the Mountain Center on soon and we'll talk to
them
about that.
But that's exactly my point.
Yeah.
Is that that issue is really the mandate of local organizations and places where you can actually meet people hands-on, face-to-face, and really help young people. And I think what the Mountain Center is doing is an incredible role model for other communities because they're actually taking young people and saying, here's how you do this.
Yeah.
Right? And, you know, one of the things I was saying at this luncheon that we had at the Mountain Center was that, you know, there's an incredible opportunity here, and it's not just to help young people. It's that young people are actually helping us because this is not an issue that we can solve by ourselves. Like, no single person is going to actually solve this problem.
Right.
They're giving us an amazing opportunity to work together as a community and to be able to figure this out together.
I think it's been such an interesting week because of the election on Tuesday.
Mm.
And one of the things, I mean, there's a couple of new states that allow gay marriage. There's an openly gay senator. There were some challenges to the so-called defense of marriage laws. And in other words, it was a really good week for people who were supportive of gay rights in general. How does that level kind of trickle down to the lives of ordinary people and teenagers?
You know, I look at what happened this week and I think to myself, okay, 32 states have tried to eliminate this idea of marriage equality. And 32 times they've failed. It's time to understand that this is the way the world is moving and that it is a civil right that we owe to these young people. I mean, this is a statistic that I happen to know, which is that when a young person has the disapproval of their parents, and when a, you know, LGBT young person, and they know that their parents disapproves of homosexuality, they are 9 times more likely to attempt suicide. Right? 9 times. And it really drops down significantly when they know their parents are in favor. And I think that this extends to preachers, teachers, politicians, that young people look to us, older people, to give them the cues to say, it's okay to live your life. So to me, this is an enormous win for young people to be able to say, really just say, you can love who you love. It's okay. We will stand beside you. We have your back. And we will, you know, we'll be there when you decide to have this life that you really are dreaming of.
And society is not going to fall apart.
In fact, it will flourish.
Exactly.
I mean, where did we get this idea that love would jeopardize, you know, the society we live in? It's like we should be fanning that fire.
And another wonderful resource that young people have, or that anybody has, is the book The Letter Q, Queer Writers' Notes to Their Younger Selves, which is full of amazing stories and people talking about what they were suffering when they were young and kind of writing the resources that they wish they had had at that time.
Yeah, you know, one of the things that I've really tried to do is that, you know, the It Gets Better campaign, which everybody knows was the...
Dan Savage.
Yeah, and, you know, it's the really... the most successful viral video campaign that's ever been. And it was amazing because it really helped the Trevor Project become front and center in terms of this issue. It was like that was the idea, was to get young people to know that that was a resource for them. But I really feel like what I wanted to do, separate and apart from the Trevor Project, was to actually find ways to encourage young people and give them the tools to make it better so that it's not just a question of, you know, hey, hang out for 10 years and your life will get better. We need to really be working with young people to give them the means by which they are themselves are going to make it better for themselves and make it better for each other.
Exactly. James Lacine is an author, actor, and activist. He's co-editor of the book The Letter Q, and he is co-founder of The Trevor Project, which is online.
At thetrevorproject.org.
And
the telephone number, in case there's anybody out there who's listening who wants to call in, it's 866-4U-TREVOR. That's 866-4U-TREVOR. It's a 24-hour suicide prevention and crisis intervention lifeline for LGBT teens.
And if you want to meet James, you can show up tonight at 6:30 at the Urban Adventure Training Center, which is at 1160 Parkway Drive, Suite A. It's in the Richards Avenue Business Park. And you'll be able to see a screening of the short film Trevor, and there's pizza and refreshments and things like that. It's sponsored by the Santa Fe Mountain Center, and their number is 505-983-6158. Thank you so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Thank you. It's great to be here in Santa Fe.
And I'd like now to welcome Robert Knott. He is with the Santa Fe New Mexican, which every week puts out the Pasatiempo, which is the Friday Arts magazine, and we're here with us from time to time, speaking of the arts. Welcome.
What do you mean from time to time? I shop 8:30, I'm done at 9. Everybody knows I'm here from time to time.
I know, but you're here every once in a while in terms of not every Friday the way you used to be.
That's right, that's what I used to do.
That's what you used
to
do.
Now I just come on whenever you need somebody, and I get a phone call around 6:30 a.m. saying, Robert, please show up. Oh, so, hi, it's... early November, and you're saying, what can I do on a Friday night? And do you have choices? You want to hear them?
I do.
There's Frito Pies, the Magic Slippers, and the KSFR Music Cafe. So in no particular order. Let's say hello to Heidi Lowen. She's got a porcelain gallery, and her show, Cooking with Fire, Smoked Porcelain Work, is going to be being received today in a reception from 5 to 7 in her gallery on Johnson Street. The show runs through November. But that has nothing to do with the Magic Slippers, the KSFR Music Cafe, or the Frito Pies. So, Frito Pies first. YouthWorks has a Frito Pie Gala tonight and Philly Awards. I'm not sure if the Philly Awards are for, like, Philadelphia or what. But YouthWorks is a terrific organization that helps disconnected youth and their families. They're going to have some music, a silent auction, a Frito Pie supper, and some awards for is philanthropic work, like Philly's? The awards for the philanthropic work? Okay, that must be it. And not people from Pennsylvania, which is okay with me, because my aunt lives there. Well, she did, and then I just found out she died. But never mind that. That's depressing.
Yeah, never mind that.
Because she didn't leave any money. She left debts, which I have to pay off. Anyway, this is at 5:30 tonight in the Santa Fe Farmers Market Pavilion.
I take no responsibility. I'm just saying.
You got to pay to get in. Call this phone number for more information. Or check out santafeyouthworks.org. But I said I'd do the phone number because I like that. 920-9550. And that's YouthWorks' third annual Fancy Frito Pie Gala and Philly Awards tonight, 5:30. Meanwhile, we got to mention KSFR's Music Cafe. You guys are having your tenor sax guy, Brian Wingard, working with John Rangel and John Transacosta and Colleen Dibble on bass at 7 o'clock tonight at the Museum Hill Cafe.
Yes, indeed.
Got to pay to get in, but here's the phone number, 428-1527.
And there's also tonight at the New Mexico Museum, St. Francis Auditorium, 100 Years of Music, 1912 to 2012. It's the world premiere of Caprichos by Roberto Sierra and Arnold Schoenberg's Piero Lunaire and John Adams' Grand Pianola Music. And David Feldberg is there and Guillermo playing violin, and he's the artistic director, and Guillermo Figueroa is conducting. And it's good stuff.
It's a great Friday night. It's just the time of year when you want to start going out, maybe dancing, hearing some music. There are a couple of children's theater shows I want to plug. Cinderella by Pandemonium, 7 o'clock, James A. Little Theater, runs through November 18th. And over at Santa Fe Performing Arts in the Armory for the Arts on Old Pecos Trail is The Sorcerer's Apprentice, which is that fantasy story. That's also 7 o'clock, and that runs, I think, just this weekend. That's this weekend, and Cinderella's through next weekend. So when you grew up, what were like the little fairy tales that you liked as a kid?
I suppose pretty standard ones, like all the Grimm fairy tales.
The actual Grimm and not the Disney version?
Yeah, actual ones.
Did they terrify you?
No, not really, because I lived in Poughkeepsie and there were no wolves, for example. And so there was, idea that you were
going
to...
up there on a weekend to go
well,
out
that's,
one night.
That's an excellent point.
I used to like Puss in Boots. Remember that guy?
Yeah.
He was kind of little, I guess. I was a 3, maybe.
But mostly I like books that had magic and time travel in them.
Yeah, I like the books with magic, too.
Yeah.
Real quickly, if you could time travel for one day to any time in American history, when would you do it?
I'll get back to you on that. Meanwhile, Ocho Piezas, flamenco guitar concert by Yves Lucero, is at Teatro Paragua Studios Sunday at 6:30 in the evening. It's tickets are free and available at the door the night of the performance. Donations are accepted. For more information, 424-1601. And they also have something happening on Wednesday, November 14th at 7 in the evening, and that's Spark, a staged reading of a new play about a war veteran returning to her home. One of the many national and international readings that are happening in November, directed by Daniel Banks, including Elias Gallegos, Nicholas Ballas, Kate Kita, Nicole Gramlich, and Leslie Reveles. And there's a post-show community discussion led by Lenore Gallegos.
Huh.
Yeah. Good stuff.
If you like Patty Page, remember her?
Vaguely.
Well, you can re-familiarize yourself with this famous 1950s and 60s singer when Catherine Donovan and the Burt Dalton Trio present music from the Patti Page Songbook at 7:30 p.m. Saturday, Santa Fe Playhouse on DeVorga Street. Minimum donation is expected, 986-1801, and they're doing the show again on the 11th. So Patti Page fans, head over to the Playhouse to see Catherine Donovan, who's a hell of a lady, by the way.
Excellent, yes, indeed.
All right, tomorrow I'm the Saturday Reporter. That's not really important to anybody, except here's the story I'm probably going to cover, which is in the Paso Tiempo. The Holiday Pie Mania. It seems like the Santa Fe Harvest Festival has got this auction going on and this tasting of pies by local pastry chefs. and they're going to support the Food Depot's Building Hope project. And it's going to be all. It's going to be 1 to 5 tomorrow at the Builder Source Apple Lance Appliance Gallery. Pardon me, on Pacheco Street. Recipes are provided. There's no charge. So from 1 to 5 tomorrow, basically, over on Pacheco Street, there's going to be like a pie fest. My yes. immediate thought is like Three Stooges. I don't know why people.
I don't know why you would think of them.
I can't figure out like why they showed up at all those fancy parties in those movies, and there was always like tables laden with pies. Like there was no dinner; the people just had pies ready, and then a fight would ensue. If you knew the Three Stooges were coming to your house for dinner, the one thing you wouldn't put out probably is pies, correct?
You know, I think the genre of that show wasn't what you would call realism.
Let's move on to the Passazione here.
El Museo Cultural de Santa Fe is proud to sponsor the first annual Women's Needlework Art Market, featuring over 20 artists, needlework artists who create colcha, embroidery, quilting, and who crochet, knit, and create rug, hooking, cross-stitch, needlepoint, lots of different kinds of art they're going to show and sell and talk about their works. And that is Saturday, tomorrow, from 9 to 3 at El Museo Cultural in the rail yard, and it is free. For more information, El Museo, 992-0591.
Everybody likes a good dog story, and people in this town love animals. I know I do. I know you do. I have 2 dogs. You have 3.
I have 3.
Stephen,
but I bet if you put all 3 of mine together, they'd fit into one of yours. They're very small.
So it's not like suitcases that you pack up like in your closet. Okay, that's a cute idea, though. Because this is the time of year when the dogs climb in bed to make you warm.
I know. I have literal 3 dog nights on a regular basis.
I get 1 dog night because the other one doesn't get out of bed, but never mind that. Stephen Wolf, no pun intended, he wrote a book called Comet's Tale, How the Dog I Rescued Saves My Life. I haven't read the book, but there's a copy of it over at the paper.
I have that at my house. I should.
It's when got this
when
great,
is that going to be?
It's Sunday at 2 o'clock at Garcia
shoot,
Street
I missed it.
Books. So, but you know, if you like dogs, if you like animal stories, that sounds really cool. Garcia Street Books, Stephen Wolf, The Comet's Tale, How the Doggy I Rescued Saved My Life, Garcia Street Books on Garcia Street, 2 o'clock Sunday.
Excellent.
I must point out as a veteran that Sunday is Veterans Day, and the Veterans Day Parade will take place at 10:30 at Fire Station 1.
Is Monday a holiday?
Strangely enough, no.
Okay.
It's going to head to the plaza and end at the New Mexico National Guard Baton Museum for an 11 o'clock ceremony. I went to that last year. It was incredibly moving. A lot of people were there, which was wonderful. That was on a Friday last year, and it's on a Sunday this year. I could be wrong about Monday. I shouldn't have spoken too soon, but I don't think Monday might be a federal holiday, so I apologize if I don't know. As a matter of fact, the bank is closed Monday, so now I suspect you're right. I suspect it's a federal holiday, but not city or county. But Veterans Day, Sunday, you know, if you're not doing something, support the veterans. That same day, you've got the Artisans Market in the rail yard and the Tsuki Flea Market going on. And Jamie Stillings is going to be talking about Changing Perspectives, a new work and project. It's an aerial study of large-scale renewable energy development in the American Southwest. This is 4 o'clock at the Munoz Waxman Gallery at CCA on Old Pecos Trail. So you could go see Stephen Wolf with the Comet tell about the doggy saving his life at 2, and then head over to Jamie Stillings' presentation at 4.
Both of them worth going to, definitely.
Yeah,
Jamie's
so.
Terrific.
You've got dogs and you've got political and environmental activism.
Santa Fe Art Institute November Readings and Open Studios is Thursday the 15th of November at 5:30 at the Santa Fe Art Institute. Lots of great folks reading and talking about their work and open studios showing their work in progress. SFAI.org or 424-5050.
Frederick Dillon, a good writer, good novelist, his novel Fool, he's going to be reading from it and talking about it at 6 p.m. Monday at Collected Works on Galisteo Street. And if you're interested in early agriculture in Mexico, go see the seminar, the Southwest Seminar, Way Down South. Archaeologist author John Roney will be talking about that at 6 p.m. Monday in the Hotel Santa Fe in Paseo de Peralta. You do have to pay to get in. Phone number 466-2775. I should point out that Monday night, Odd Fellows Hall, lesson at 7, dance 8 to 10, informal swing dance. Pretty inexpensive to get in. I went there one night over the summer with a friend to this dance concert, and it was really hot, which was unfortunate. They had all the doors open, but it's kind of this cool place to go dancing. But it's sort of like, it's like going to some old rural barn in the 40s.
Yeah.
And have you, I'm sure you've been there.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
love to dance. It doesn't quite make it, but there's something interesting about it. I'll tell you about that night later when I get off the air.
Orphans of the World presents sacred and sensuous uh-huh. benefit dance and music concert. And it's tomorrow night at 7:30 at the Scottish Rite Temple. I interviewed the person who's organizing the whole thing, named Tess Young, was it yesterday or the day before? And we are giving a ticket. We're doing a ticket giveaway right now. So the second person to call 428-1382 can win a pair of tickets. As always, only call if you're really going to go.
How do you pick the number? Like, how do you say second person, ninth person? Where does that come from? Is it ever the first person?
Yes, sometimes it's the first person. Sometimes it's the second person. It depends on the capacity of the person in the control room. If there's only one person there and they're alone, if you do the ninth, then it's too many phone calls.
So one person being there, like, should be the second or third call.
Right.
What if there's four people?
Well, then you can do the 457th.
Can you, like, give me inside information next time I call in and, like, give me a tip of how many people are there so I know, like, how to time this? Because you always talk about me in the second person, but when you speak about yourself, it's in the first person. I want to speak about when opera goes to the movies.
You had me there for a second.
I rarely
like,
have
is
you.
What he saying?
I've been trying to have you for 10 years. Opera and HD, when opera goes to the movies, Wednesday.
Lots of luck.
I'm trying to go forward with the readings, and this is what I get. Why do you think ladies and gentlemen, why do you think I come on every 7 months? I thought the dialogue was over. I'm going into the new bit. Lots of luck. She's got to get that zinger, and always. That was a beautiful one, lady. Really good. When opera goes to the movies, and I wish I was going to them right now, is going to be at 5:30 Wednesday at the Unitarian Universalist Congregation in Santa Fe on Barcelona Road. Basically, John Weber, the Vice President of Education for the Opera Guild, he's going to play music from the Magic Flute, Don Giovanni, and others, and talk about, like, the differences between live opera and opera presented in a movie theater. So that's interesting. I guess he's talking, like, maybe perhaps the Lensic, as opposed to going to the opera. Again, that's 5:30. If you like opera, I have a feeling it's going to be interesting Wednesday night. I thought for a minute it was a series about movies about the opera, you know, like
right,
opera
right.
to the movies.
Hey, tonight, Friday, at 6 o'clock, Muse Times 2 Poetry Series. Readings by Gabriele Calvacoresi and Gary Jackson. And then on Monday, and that's a wonderful poetry series. If you are a poetry person, it's definitely worth going to any of the Muse Times 2 poetry readings. They're beautifully presented and curated. It's a great program. We're very lucky in this town. And then on Monday at 6 o'clock, local author Fred Dillon reads from his satire, Fool. And Robert Knott is nodding sagely.
I just said that 2 minutes ago.
You said it 2 minutes ago.
So
did you say the other one? Did you say what's happening on Tuesday at 6 o'clock at Collected Works Bookstore?
Go ahead.
Dillon Tomine presents his memoir, Closer to the Ground, an outdoor family year's family's year on the water, in the woods, and at the table. And then on Thursday, Candace Walsh features, she's presenting her book, Licking the Spoon, a memoir of food, family, and identity. And she'll be in conversation with Cheryl Jameson, Santa Fe chef and author.
Since you've had me on here plugging Pasta Tempo, which I occasionally write for, I do have a piece that I hope will turn out nicely for next Friday on German Westerns, tying in with the Museum for Art and History's exhibition of German Westerns in Karl
May.
Thank you. I do want to plug Pasta Tempo's writing contest. You can contribute a story on any subject in poetry, prose. There's prizes, three categories. I'll go through them slowly. 19 and up, you get like 1,000 words. Age 13 to 18, you get 1,000 words. And 5 to 12, you get 500 words. This is a good classroom activity. It's a good youth activity. Teachers, youth, students want to write. Mail the entries in snail mail to the Santa Fe New Mexican at 202 East Marcy Street. You can look it up in the phone book. 87501, just note writing contest. You can email also to writingcontest@sfnewmexican.com. There's a little brief in the People Who Need People section of Paso Tiempo today. Take a look and see. Deadline is 4 p.m. Monday, December 3rd. And, of course, Paso Tiempo is going to run all the winning entries in our Friday, December 28th, Christmas/New Year's holiday issue. It's a really great opportunity. We are really trying to encourage people to submit stories. So there you go. December 3rd is the deadline. You can find it again on page 63 of today's Pasta Tiempo.
And at the Santa Fe University of Art and Design is a play called Reasons to be Pretty.
Uh-huh.
Did you read that one too?
Well, no, I didn't read it. I mean, I know the play. It's sort of not... it's adult material. Keep going. It's Neil LaBute, right?
Written by Neil LaBute and directed by Gail Springer. And it's all kinds of students from the Santa Fe University of Art and Design. And it's Saturday and Sunday of this weekend. And it's at 2 o'clock and 7 o'clock on Saturday and 2 o'clock on Sunday at the Weckesser Studio Theater in the Greer Garson Theater. Very, very inexpensive to get in. Due to adult language, the show is not recommended for children under the age of 14.
It's edgy, but I think older teens will grab it, like it.
Yeah.
A plug for Out of Town, Socorro. It's that time of year, Festival of the Cranes. Have you been?
I've gone to see them. I don't know if I've gone to the festival, but
same
I've gone
here,
to see them during the bird
migration,
the crane migration, and it's spectacular.
And this is the 25th anniversary of the festival, which is Tuesday through Sunday in Socorro, or actually San Antonio near Socorro.
This coming Tuesday through the following Sunday.
In the Bosque del Apache Wildlife Refuge. I would say, that's a 2.5-hour drive one way.
If that.
Closer to 2 hours if you do the speed limit.
I can't remember, but yeah.
Expo tent, there's going to be vendors, education booths, wildlife zone, kids activities, photo workshops, bird watching. So Festival of the Cranes down there near Socorro, Tuesday through Sunday. Check it out. Check out festivalofthecranes.com. Say, what time is it?
It is 8:51, and concerned citizens will be meeting for protest and peaceful demonstration to oppose the coyote killing contest. I heard that on the KSFR News, too, but thought I would read it again just in case. There's a coyote killing contest set for the weekend of, I guess it's November 16th, it says. Coyotes are native wild song dogs, have no protections under state laws. Shooters are signing up now to compete and see who can kill the most coyotes to win a prize. The protest will be in front of Gunhawk Firearms, which is the sponsor in Los Lunas. And if you want to join those folks from noon to 2 on Saturday, November 10th, that's tomorrow at 1400 Main Street, which is right off of I-25 near the Los Lunas exit. And you can park by the Los Lunas High School. For more information, call Mary Catherine at 575-772-5655.
I'm going to bounce back to Veterans Day. Forgive me, but Jeff Loudermilk, he's a writer and photographer, and he's got this exhibit, this interesting presentation he's going to do, talking about his grandfather's experience as a World War I soldier, and he ties that into photographing monuments and cemeteries, military monuments and cemeteries throughout Europe. It's 2 o'clock, and again, on Veterans Day, Sunday, at the New Mexico History Museum. It's by museum admission, which on Sundays, no charge for New Mexico residents. There's also no charge for veterans or active duty military. If this interests you, it's called Remembrance, America's World War Legacies in Europe. It's a Veterans Day event, 2 o'clock on Sunday at the History Museum. My memory is also that a lot of the state museums, since we're not plugging them, I'll try, they're free on Sunday. Is that correct?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, for New Mexico residents, pardon me. I think you can go to most of our museums for free on Sunday. It's a good time to go. You've got the International Folk Art Museum, which has some New Mexican Hispanic artists playing. You've got the History Museum we already mentioned downtown. Museum of Art off Palace Avenue has a number of group exhibits. So again, Sunday, free for New Mexico residents.
Santa Fe chapter of the Native Plant Society of New Mexico presents a free talk by Daniela Roth, Botany Program Coordinator of New Mexico Forestry. And the title is the talk is titled On the Trail of Seldom Seen Plants in the American Southwest, Navajo Nation, Utah, New Mexico. And it's on Wednesday, the 14th of November at 6:30, and that's at Morgan Hall in the New Mexico State Land Office at 310 Old Santa Fe Trail. There's free parking there. For more information, 690-5105.
Pasta Tiempo's cover image is from Sharon Kaur's photograph. Kind of looks like painting. I don't know if you'd call it photorealism or not. There's an interview with her in Pasta Tiempo today. And this exhibit runs through December at Radius Books on East Palace Avenue. I don't believe there's an opening reception or anything, but the Radius Books is at 227 East Palace. Here's a phone number, 983 4068 to find out more about the work. And Sharon Kaur, take a look at Pasatiempo today.
And the play Love, Loss, and What I Wore, a tribute to Nora Ephron, written by Nora and Delia Ephron, is back for a kind of encore performance on November 10th and 11th. I guess that's tomorrow and Sunday at 7:30 on Saturday and 3 o'clock on Sunday at the Lodge in St. Francis Drive. For more information, tickets.com. Or, well, ticket, it says ticket.com. I don't know. Anyway, the number is 886-1251.
And I guess next week is the 125th anniversary of George O'Keefe's birthday.
Yes, it is.
So you're
doing
probably
all sorts
talking
of
a lot of stuff about George O'Keefe, huh?
Yep.
Good. What time is it? Are we ready?
It's, no, we got a couple minutes left.
Oh, good. Circus Luminous coming up around Thanksgiving weekend at the Lenzik. Local theater artists, usually led by Wise Fool. That's always fun for the kids. And looking ahead, you've got the Santa Fe County Extension Association Holiday Fair. Runs on the 17th at the Exhibit Hall at Rodeo Road. That's a little bit down the road. And even further down the line, for those of you that like skating, is the Santa Fe Skating Club Holiday Ice Show, which is going to be in early December down at the Chavez Center on Rodeo Road. So just some things to think about as we move forward through the month and the year. If you want to go hear some music on Saturday night, which is always a kick, I find, consider the following. You've got the Cowgirl has the Santa Fe Chilis doing Dixieland in the afternoon, and then John Kriegswerk Band at night, 8:30, small cover. La Fiesta Lounge, a great place to dance, has Johnny Bones, Rock and Blues. Yeah, I got to work all day Saturday, but maybe I'll head down there to dance afterward. Second Street Brewery, the original, I believe, has Chimney Choir, Denver Americana, 6 to 9, no cover. Tiny's still has Showcase Karaoke with Nancy and Cindy. I keep threatening to go to that. 7 to 11, no cover.
Whom are you threatening?
That's the thing. I tell them I'm coming, and then they close. And finally, Vanessa, yes. I never threaten anybody. Pianist Doug Montgomery, 6 to 9, followed by Lindy Gold, Pop and Jazz, 8:30. You got a call for a cover on that last one. So there is a lot of good band music, stuff you want to see. If you want to go out tonight, El Cañon has Jerry Carthy over there at the Hilton. Guitar and flute, it's always nice, relaxing music, 7 to 9. They usually have a nice fireplace going. I know, because I usually light it. La Posada has Nacho Mendez Trio, which is really great. 6:30 to 9:30, no cover. The Palace Restaurant has The Strange doing rock and funk from 5 to 7 p.m., no cover. And Tiny's has the Chris Abeto Duo from 5:30 to 8 tonight, followed by Anthony Leon and the Chain, Alternative Country, 8:30 to 12:30, no cover. So there's a lot of stuff going on. You can always check out the Pasatiempo for upcoming music events. Read Rob DeWalt's excellent Soundwaves column that's in the back of Pasatiempo every week.
And here's one more. An Evening with Greg Braden, keynote speaker, Tellington Touch. And it's the Tellington Touch Celebration Conference on Thursday, November 15th from 7 to 9:30 in the evening at La Fonda. The event includes a lecture, book signing, and music, and Greg Braden shares how the healing rhythms of the heart hold the key for life-affirming changes personally and globally. More information at gregbraden.com. I got this from Kindred Spirits Animal Sanctuary, who always do wonderful work.
Excellent. I thought you said Greg Brady, like the Brady Bunch. I was going to go.
Yeah, he's not 12 anymore.
And he's not a real character, like the Three Stooges?
Yeah, he's like that, exactly.
It was nice to see you.
It was nice to see you, too. Robert Knott is with the Santa Fe New Mexican, our wonderful local newspaper that publishes every Friday the Pasatiempo, which is the Friday Arts Magazine. And you've been listening to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We're streaming live on the web at ksfr.org, podcasting at santafe.radiocafe.org, thanks to Dotfoil Computer Services. I think you can subscribe now. There was a while you couldn't, but I think it's fixed. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes. You can find us at facebook.com/radiocafemc. Don't forget the MC, because Radio Cafe, the other one is full. I can't accept any more people. So facebook.com/radiocafemc. And my email address is radiocafe@ksfr.org. What are you looking at me like that for?
Because I have that impact on women. They get all fluttery around me and can't say
what I'm
going to say.
I'm feeling oh so very fluttery.
And can I come on again before Christmas?
Yes.
And you can do Christmas songs? You
yeah.
And
are like you Sam?
Dean Martin?
Yep.
Like a week or two before?
All right. Stay tuned for the BBC, followed by local news by KSFR's award-winning news team. And after that, jazz. Hasta la vista, baby.
Oh, goodbye.
Ciao.